The 40-Day Health Challenge.
You got me fired up.
On Ireland's Classic Hits Radio.
Dr. Eddie Murphy has joined us in studio. You're very welcome.
It's lovely to be here, Trina. Lovely to be here with you.
I've heard nothing but good reports, by the way, from the challengers because of the chats that you've been having with them. And I think straight off by talking to you, they've all kind of gotten something out of it. So on a programme like this, I guess, what are the main themes that you will come across where people aren't looking after your health for a particular reason?
So I'm going to go back to our assessment day, because I think that's always important. Assessment day really sets the tone. It sets why do people come? Why do 20 challengers step forward? And there are many different reasons. And I'd say I'm looking forward to going through some of those reasons with you. I think a lot of our challengers have lost joy in their life. Okay, and it's for some it's about a reset. They want to reset their health, and for others it's about finding meaning and purpose, and embracing challenges and building confidence. They are sort of the core areas that I think that people mm-hmm. are looking to make changes. And I think challenges are great because they step out and say, "Listen, I'm struggling here," and often we talk about peer to peer. When someone's able to say, "I'm struggling too," they're going to bring support and community and people along with them. And we have the Ireland Lights Up with the GAA as well. So lots of opportunities for people to join in and connect with our challengers and really take that opportunity to reset their own health.
There's been a lot of, I know from listening to the stories of the challengers, a lot of them have experienced big changes in their life. They're dealing with grief. A number of them are dealing with grief. They've had a lot of deaths in the family, various life-altering events like babies being born, hitting menopause. There's so many big life changes that can affect how you feel about yourself.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Very insightful as well, Trina. Bring that
thanks.
Up. Yeah, no, very insightful. So life events happen to us all.
Mm.
And life events can be both positive and negative. And there's a thing called the life event scale. You can actually look at your own psychologist. We're all into different scales. But there's a life event scale where people can actually look at their own past 2 years. The other thing about that life event scale, it doesn't cover what happens going forward. Like, we might know stuff that's going to happen in our lives going forward. Some stuff is unpredictable, but some stuff is predictable. And like, for example, new baby or something like that. And life events carry a stress loading. And when you hit a certain threshold, there's a higher risk of physical illness associated with significant life events. And some people can accumulate life events. Like, so it could be a cancer diagnosis, it could be redundancy, it could be changing job, it could be a new baby, it could be relationship breakdown or relationship formation. So when they carry a stress loading on us. Now, the question is, how do we buffer against our life events? And some people, and so it's really around stress management. So, like, do we deal with it, delegate it, or dump it? And I suppose that's some of the maybe tools. And we've great tools again on the whole Instagram platform and the 40-Day Health Challenge to provide support to individuals who are following through on this.
Do you find that men find it more difficult to deal with this kind of life events and stress? Whereas, like us women, we all talk to each other, and men don't. Well, maybe they do a little bit more recently, but certainly us women chat to our pals about the
very
problems.
Very insightful, yes. Trina.
I know. Give us a job, Eddie.
This tell you, yes, I know that. Yeah, I know. But they often say that men are like sharks and women are like dolphins. You know, men sort of head off individually. Well, I think that's changing. The age profile is changing as well. And thankfully, men, I'd say under 40, might have a more opportunity, more socialised, if you wanted to talk together. Not always the case, but you're right. Women communicate really well around their emotions. Men struggle, but sometimes people struggle to put label and name their emotions. And I'm involved in a project called Lust for Life. It's a charity, and I'm involved in a school project for emotional resiliency in primary school children. It's free and it's fully available for every primary school in Ireland. So if you're listening to a programme and you know someone that's in a primary school, there's a full programme there from junior infants right up to sixth class that's free, that fits in with the curriculum. Teachers love it. And it's gone out to over 130,000 children. Very powerful. Mm-mm. And it's really about showing how can we label our emotions. Sometimes people struggle. And when we start naming our emotions, then we're able to say, okay, that's what I'm struggling with. And sometimes we've five big emotions in our life, Trina. What would you think some of them are?
I say fear.
Big one, yes.
Fear.
Huge.
I'm trying to think of the film.
Inside Out.
Inside Out that my daughter watches. fear.
Great movie.
Anger.
Yeah.
Happiness.
Yeah.
Which is joy in the movie. What else do we have? That's three. Sadness.
Yeah, very good.
Yeah. And the other one is, I can't think of.
The other one is the tricky one. It's Disgust.
Disgust, yes. Yeah, yeah. That's very...
Disgust.
That's a great movie, actually, isn't it?
Great movie,
adults to watch, to kind of go, right, yeah.
No, it's a great movie because it explains really well. It's very psychologically informed. And I won't make any insights into how fear come up for you is the first one, as opposed to love, joy and happiness.
Oh, no, he's analysed me here. He's analysed me.
But yeah, fear. Fear... Actually, really good question for anyone listening. What would you do if you weren't afraid? What would you do if you weren't afraid? That's a very powerful question. If I wasn't afraid, I would do da 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 da. And that's what I'm inviting you to do for 2025, is to do the opposite of what you're afraid. Step out. Push yourself a little bit forward. Push yourself into a space where you can face your fears. Because often fears impact on our, that's a big emotion. But what goes with fear is avoidance. People avoid situations, they avoid people, they avoid things. And in psychology, we know from 130 years of psychological science that avoidance will always keep fear going.
Mm.
And that's my invitation to listeners here, is ask themselves the question, what would they do if they weren't afraid? And then to push themselves beyond that fear, because that's really where the magic happens. That's where you're embracing life, where you're giving yourself meaning and purpose. And that's what our challengers have done.
I was just about to say that by even applying for this in the first place, they've already stepped out of their comfort zone. So they've achieved something before they even began.
Totally, because I look at that and I go, in a way, probably the wrong phrase, but pre-treatment changes. Mm. You know when people, some say, listen, they pick up the phone and say, listen, Eddie, can I see you? Can I, you know, I'm interested in doing this piece of work, whatever it is. Like when I talk in schools or in workplaces, I love that because it gives you a chance to sort of talk a lot of these messages. They actually make changes before they start speaking to you.
Mm.
And that's huge because it's very predictive of a very good outcome.
Emotions, as we discussed there, can really make us eat. Emotional eating is such a huge thing.
Mm.
Why is that? Why do we turn to food for comfort?
Well, if you think about it, it's primal, isn't it? Like food is gives us security, gives us warmth, it gives us comfort. I mean, it's, you know, in terms of what we call these Maslow hierarchy needs, we need safety, security, shelter, food, water. These are the things that are basic. And but if you want to look at emotional eating, I think a useful tool is if you're eating something, you just take a little step back and go, what am I feeling now?
Mm.
Okay, so some people could be feeling upset. Some people could be feeling stressed. Some people could be feeling boredom. Like, for example, they might be at night time watching telly or something, whatever it is, and they're actually bored.
It's a habit as well.
It can be a habit, yeah. And, like, I know if I have a glass of wine, I want the cracker and cheese with it, you know. So it sort of comes sometimes with it. So breaking the habits. But understanding our emotional eating, not for all our challengers. Challengers have different pathways, but... For me, as a psychologist as a coach and psychologist with the challengers, is what's eating you? It's not what you're eating. It's what I'm trying to get at. What's eating them as a person?
Yeah.
And then if I can give them some insight into that and tools into that, then we're moving the change, then moving that on the inside.
Because that is what's interesting about this 40-day health challenge, right? Everybody has a reason for being there. Every reason is different on every single one of those challengers. And it just makes you think that it's all connected. Like, look, not looking after your health, there's always a reason why, or there's something in the background that's stopping you from doing so. Like so many of the challengers were feeling guilt because they were so busy rearing their children or whatever and looking after parents and look that they felt they couldn't give themselves, they didn't deserve to give themselves that time.
And that's one of the core messages that I'm really trying to get over in this. It's all available on all the different platforms. But the core message is around starting with self-compassion and kindness. Some people motivate themselves with the whip, and I that's not my style. It's not, I don't believe, I think that'll, the road runs out very fast and that people get fed up and then they beat themselves further up. You know, you tried it, you just didn't succeed, you didn't. And if we can start speaking to ourselves in self-compassion, you know, and
like the way you'd speak to a friend.
Like a friend and a child and kindness. And if we can speak in a kind way, we're more likely to be motivated to make change and sustain the change. Like, it's around sustaining. It's easy. Even already, I think some of our challengers have hit little blocks and stuff like that. They've gone out with full gusto, and then the sort of air has gone out of the balloon.
It can happen, yeah.
Yeah, so we're just saying, step back, just be kind. Everyone's going to face an obstacle. Everyone's going to have a bad day. Everyone, reach out. And the nice thing is, little tribe among them now. Yeah. And there's some great wisdom in the group. Great
there
wisdom.
There is, yeah, absolutely. Wisdom. And, you know, I think instead of thinking of it as the 40-day health challenge, think of it day by day. Okay, today, what can I do to get to the end of the day? And then you've achieved something, even if it's hour by hour.
Yeah, they always say, like, you know, start your day with one a task that you can do, whether it's like make your bed. Okay, that, you know, you've achieved something and you're up again. What is it that you can do in the next 2 hours? What is it I need to do? Sometimes we need to, like, rest and recovery and speaking to ourselves with compassion. You know, the food side of it's covered with our registered dietitian, Sophie Pratt, brilliant. We've medically covered with Dr. Sumi Dunn. We've Carol Henry's fitness program. So a lot of that is covered off. I'm sort of saying to people, just be gentle. And you know, if you're looking for a reset and you're looking to find yourself and you're looking for meaning and purpose, see, quite often, meaning and purpose, if we have something that gives us meaning and purpose, that is the engine to good mental well-being. Some of our challengers have lost joy because they've lost a meaning and purpose.
Mm.
And now they've set themselves goals, like they want to be fit for their, they want a future and legacy of health. They want to walk, they want to swim, they want to mind their grandchildren. Meaning and purpose.
Yeah.
It's huge.
You need a reason to get up in the morning and, yeah, absolutely.
You do, yeah.
I think another thing that held a lot of the challengers back was they felt that they were so busy looking after everyone else and they didn't know how to say no. Would you have any tips on how to do that? How to say no to other people and put yourself first without sounding like a selfish person?
Yeah, well, saying no, it's hard to say no.
Mm.
And so the skill and the skill of that is assertiveness skills. How to be assertive. So in doing some, there's some brilliant YouTube videos on assertiveness, but really it's I often think about the assertive Bill of Rights. I have the right to say no. I have the right to change my mind. I have the right to make a mistake. Of course, when you're doing this, people get very assertive very quickly.
Mm.
While I have all these rights, you have these rights too. We need to remember that. And then we practice. So you think of a ladder and say, like, who's the hardest person in the world to say no to? Is it my partner, my mum or dad, or is it my... And say, well, I'm not going to practice on them, okay? So you practice saying no. You think of like a ladder, and then who's at the lower part of that ladder?
Okay.
And then you practice saying no, with no without an excuse. And then you use, and we can remember this, the old records. It's called the Stuck Record Technique. And you remember the needle on the dial?
Yeah.
So if someone asks you to do something, you see it like a fishing hook almost. You're going, am I going to fall into this again and say yes when I really want to say no? A lot of people say yes when they really want to say no. It's this form of avoidance that we talked about earlier on. I said no. You say no, and then I go clench down, go and smile, and then they'll ask you again, and, you know, or it could be no, that's just not possible for me at the moment. No,
so it's polite.
And it's polite, but they might ask you again because they're not used to this, and you this is where the stuck record technique is. You know, so you, I hear what you're saying, but for like. No, the answer is unfortunately, I can't do that. And even that unfortunately, I can't do that sounds a little bit sort of you're making excuses. But and then the person might go again and say, they'll ask you in a different way. And you go, no, I understand what you're saying, but the answer is no.
Okay.
Okay, and that's the stuck record technique.
Right, okay.
And they won't come back in.
And that's it.
That's it.
You've been firm. Yeah.
So you practicing it lower down on people. Like a good way of doing that is maybe returning items to a shop. Because sometimes people have to build confidence up.
Mm.
You buy something wrong size, you bring it back. Some people don't bring stuff back because they're not confident going in. So I'd like to bring this back because it's not the right size for me. You know, with the receipts and all the rest of it. And just you're learning to be assertive.
Do you know, Eddie, I used to work with a girl and she said yes to everybody and anything. And she was run ragged. She didn't have a second to herself. And I mean, seriously stressed from doing that. And I used to hear her on the phone and she'd be like, oh yeah. And then she'd get off the phone and she'd go, oh God, how am I going to fit this in later? And I said to her, I think it would be a good idea for you to say to the person, let me check my diary. Right? Because then you don't feel like you've been put on the spot. You don't have to give an answer there and then.
Because
she would always just go, oh yes.
Yeah.
Because she felt like she had to give an answer there and then. Let me check my diary and get back to you.
Yeah.
And then it's easier to get out of
and
if you don't want to do
it. Did she get back to them or not get back to them?
No,
she
would.
Avoid that bit.
She would, yeah. But at least it gave her a minute or two
like
to think,
that.
Right, can I actually do this or can
yeah.
I not?
I like that. I call it, well, I don't know, I call it the classic two-step.
Mm.
You take a moment, you say, just as you say, I'll discuss that with someone or I need to think about that or I'll come back to you.
Can I come
that.
Back to you? Yeah.
Yeah, and stuff like that. Or sometimes with emails or whatever, like I employ the 24-hour rule. Like, you know, particularly if you're feeling very hot, as in strong emotions, that is not probably the best time to be returning sort of information or something like that, you know, because you can be passively aggressive and leak stuff or whatever, particularly if you're upset or something like that. So I think that taking that moment and taking a deep breath and, you know, focusing on taking a deep breath sometimes and just saying no and practicing it in front of the mirror, no, that doesn't work for me.
Uh-huh.
Thank you very much for asking me and appreciate that. But the answer is no.
Is no.
And then when they ask again, you go, I hear what you're saying. That's called fielding the response. And then you go, that's stuck record. No is the.
Because a number of the challengers were saying to me how they were volunteering for everything in their community.
Yeah, I'd worry
and
about
it's
that.
And it's great to be involved in your community, but when you don't have a second to yourself.
Yeah. I'd worry about that because I just call that this distraction.
Mm.
Right, they're on a 40-day health challenge and, you know, part of the journey is external. You know, it's going the walks with your Ireland Lights Up and it's doing your exercise and stuff like that and bringing the community on board. And for me, for training and exercise, my sister is, you know, it's easier to do it with a buddy and to do that. But part of this challenge too is the inner journey. You can't do that if you're externally out all the time giving yeses and come and talk to the school and come and talk. Like, for example, I got a wonderful invitation to go to an Ireland Lights. I live in the Midlands. Mm. To go to an Ireland Lights Up. A lovely invitation. Fair play. To go to Mayo. So thanks very much.
You just can't do it. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I look at my family and kids and my sort of caring for my father as well with my family. So the answer is no. You know what I mean?
Okay.
And but that was probably a person lower down on the. It was harder to say no. But if my local club says, "Can you come and walk?" I say, "Yeah,
you're
I'll do it."
But
it's over 40 weeks. So I'll do. But I can't commit to every time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you just have to setting boundaries. Actually, we call that setting boundaries. So boundaries are really important because in life, what happens is either people's boundaries are intrusive. They've been hurt in some way because people have stepped into their space. Or alternatively, they're too distant and there's not enough connection and relationship. So finding that lovely Goldilocks space right in the middle is the key.
I'm just hearing that overwhelm word an awful lot lately. Everybody is overwhelmed. Mm. So it's kind of taking control. I want to ask you about grief. Because this is a big thing for people and can also make people overeat as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because again, the comfort. Grief is one of these things that just hits you. And my own father-in-law passed away there quite suddenly at the end of May, a massive part of our family. And at the time, I was kind of dealing with it okay. And then one day you're standing in Costa Coffee and next thing you're in a floods of tears.
Mm-hmm.
It can hit you like that.
Yeah, grief is there's no way, the only way through grief is to actually go through grief. You can't avoid grief and loss. So my own mum died in October 23. So that was huge, like that's a year and maybe 3 months ago now. And so that's a huge part. But people have different types of grief as well. Like for maybe caring for a person with dementia. And you can see there's a sort of like a living grief that you're seeing somebody that's the personality or life that they had or life force that they had is fading away and stuff like that. So grief and loss, people often want to maybe accelerate their way through them, eat their way through it, drink their way through it or whatever. But talking, I know for myself, and that we have a particular walk that we do, and we walked, talked and cried. That's what we did with that grief, with my two sisters. And so just taking that opportunity to remember as well and to bring that person into your mind. And it's okay to be upset and it's okay to give yourself permission to be upset. And if you're in a situation where you're crying, you could say to somebody, I'm upset because I'm grieving. And it's okay, this will pass. It's a wave and it will pass.
Mm.
Traditionally in communities, you know, people wore like black or something like that to acknowledge that they were in a grief and mourning phase. We don't do that anymore. And quite often people, you know, in the work situation, might have a time off work, a small few days, and they go back. And but you're not. You're carrying grief carries for a significant amount.
It's not gone. Funeral is done.
So you have to incorporate, like, you know, in the book textbooks, the Kubler-Ross, they talk about loss and bargaining and loss and anger till you finally get to acceptance. And some people can really struggle to get to acceptance, particularly around child grief or really complex grief. And that's a different sort of pathway. Mm. But maybe you talk about a 2-year period or stuff like that. But I think you integrate the loss with you. You always carry that person with you. You always carry them memories with you. And just to be kind again, going back to the kind and compassion with ourselves and saying, it's okay to be upset. It's okay. I can both have a funny moment and still be sad.
Yeah.
And these are human emotions. Yeah. And they're normal emotions. And they don't necessarily need like medication or need counselling, or sometimes people rush people off into professional help. We're almost at times over professionalizing normal human emotions.
Okay, yeah.
And it's just acknowledging, saying to people, it's okay. It's okay to
be. It's time.
Yeah.
Time's
now, if
what
people
need,
get
yeah.
stuck further down the line, they went with complex grief, or then that becomes a very, that's a different pathway of support and intervention.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Dr. Eddie Murphy, thank you very much for coming in. The 40-day health challenge. No doubt we're going to be catching up before the end. And thanks for all your words of wisdom and your encouragement for our challengers as well. I know they're getting an awful lot from you as well. And we'll see you soon.
Thank you, Trina.
The 40-day health challenge. You got me fired, 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 fired up. On Ireland's Classic Hits Radio.